topic on the kingdom. And we talked about the first week about how the kingdom was lost. And then we talked about the three kingdoms that happened because the kingdom was lost. And then the last week we talked about the kingdom now and how we are supposed to be the beginning of the kingdom. The kingdom starts with us. And then this week we're going to talk about the kingdom that is going to be fully fulfilled. Amen. And I just love this scripture. I love so many scriptures, but this was a revelation to me a few years ago as I was reading it. And those of you who saw my little Facebook post know that I had put it as the theme. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Do you ever feel accused? You ever accuse yourself? Look at yourself and say, "Man, I'm worthless. Man, I messed up again. I'm a failure." You know, it's so easy because we know the truth. We know the things we should be living up to get so down on yourself. I think I'm probably my worst critic because as I was telling my wife last night, I was told so many things when I was younger that I believed it. You know, when you're a kid, you're told so many things, you believe it. It wasn't until I got older that I realized, you know, I'm not that smart. It's really all God's mercy and his grace. Amen. But this scripture speaks about a future time when the angel says a loud voice in heaven, "Now is come salvation." See, right now we are saved by faith. That is, we believe. And because of that, it is credited to us. But we are still on this planet. We're still dealing with characters in our lives. We're still dealing with situations that we have to face that we don't like. And until that voice, that loud voice in heaven says, "Now has come salvation," or until you die. You know, if you die in Christ, the scripture says, "Blessed are the dead in Christ." Your fate is already sealed. You don't have to deal with all the issues and problems. But until that voice sounds, we're still on enemy territory. We still are fighting a war. Because it says, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." That's when it's going to be really revealed who really reigns. And that's when God is going to take back control of this world. Amen. As we taught last week, there were three kingdoms. Originally, there was only one kingdom, but when man disobeyed, hell was created. And of course, God separated himself from man because of his sinfulness. So I'm going to just review some of these. Of course, we all know what the kingdom of heaven is. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Why is that? Why is that? Why is not everyone that believes going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Okay, don't have relationships, Sister Janice? Not doing the will of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Right? Okay, all right. See, it's not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," but he that doeth the will. What is the will of the Father? Yes, but okay, obedience to what? If you were to boil it down into two or three things, what are we saved for? Why are we saved? Nobody can hear you. So I know it's a pain to get up, but I'm going to ask everyone to get up.
We are saved so that we in turn can be disciples and win others to Christ.
Okay.
And to give him glory.
Amen. So why do we come to church? Amen. Because the Bible says that there is strength when we get together. You know, if you have one little stick You can't make much of a fire. Did you know that? You can't make much of a fire with one stick. It'll burn for a little bit. But if you get a whole bunch of wood, you can get quite a fire going. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, as we see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. I see this whole world, and to me it's unbelievable how I see the democracies starting to fall apart, where people are accepting or looking for dictatorship, basically, authoritarian rule. And we see even some of the countries like that are in NATO, like Turkey, where they just had a vote about a month ago where they ceded all the powers or a huge amount of power to the president so that he can pretty much do what he wants. He can appoint the judges. And so we see the world changing. And we read in the Bible of the prophecies and we say, well, that can't happen. But yet amazingly, we can see the world starting to change. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. In Matthew 6, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner. Now, he didn't say you have to pray exactly these words, but he said, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that tells us so many things right away. What do you learn from that prayer right away? What can you learn right away from that, from those few words Jesus told his disciples? Well, what we learn is that God's will is not being done, right? If God's will was already being done, we don't have to pray for it. You understand what I'm saying? So most of the things that happen on earth, don't blame God for it. Remember I've been teaching on Tuesday nights, dominion? You have a choice. Don't blame God and say, the devil made me do it. Most of the messes we're in, it's me, I, and myself. Right? Don't be looking around to point fingers. It was I chose to do what I did. God's will is not being done on earth, and it must be the most painful thing for a perfect God, perfect being, to look down on this earth and see just the terrible things that are being done. But they're not going to be forever. There's coming a day when that scripture in Revelation is going to be fulfilled. But Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I've been teaching on Tuesday nights on a topic, and I gave the reason, or one of the reasons we need to pray this. Why is that? Why should we ask God to do something that he wants to do? Somebody? Because we've been given dominion. We have to submit that dominion back. Everybody's sleeping on Tuesday nights. Isn't that what I've been teaching? I said that the reason why we pray, or one of the biggest parts of our prayer should be to be like Jesus in the garden. I don't want this cup, but nevertheless, not my will. When we pray, what we're really doing is giving God authority on earth. Now you say, giving God authority? Yes, because he gave dominion to us. When we pray, that's the reason, one of the main reasons of prayer. One of the main reasons of prayer is praise and thanksgiving. But another great part of prayer is submitting our will. Is saying, God, please take whatever dominion, whatever choice that I have. And you, that's why he said, pray thy kingdom come, because who was given this earthly kingdom? Man was. So we have to give it back. We have to say, God, look at the mess we've made. Look at the mess we've made. You take control. And that's why, see, God, and we've been teaching this, above all things is a God of his word. And so we have to ask him. We have to ask him back into our lives. That's why he said, behold, I stand on the door with a sledgehammer and beat it down. Is that what he says? What does he do? Knocks. We have to be, remember that message, the church of the open door, right? We have to open the door. He won't come in unless we open the door into our lives, into our hearts, into our decisions, into everything that we do. Thy kingdom come. That's why he said, this is the manner you should pray. When you pray, you shouldn't pray a prayer that doesn't have at least these two parts to it when you pray. Thanksgiving and submission. Then you can ask for other stuff. The Bible says submit to God. Then you can. If you do not submit to God, you will never be able to resist the devil. So just think about that when you're praying. Make sure that somewhere in there you give thanks and somewhere in there you submit and say, Lord, take my will. David, and I'm off topic, but that's why David was so successful. Most of his life, he never did anything until he did what? Inquired of the Lord. Prayed, yes. Lord, should I go up here? Should I do this? David would have been dead many times. He would have been caught by Saul. But before he, even when he thought there were people he could trust, you know the story, there was a city called Keilah in the book of Samuel where David had done them a favor. He had helped them. And he was running away from Saul, but just because he had helped them, he still went and inquired of the Lord. Just because it's your buddy and they got a great deal for you, you still should better inquire of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, hey, if I stay in Keilah, will the men of Keilah protect me? Lord said, no. Is Saul going to come and get me? The Lord said, yes. See, when you inquire of the Lord, you can save yourself so much trouble. I'm off the topic, but this is what prayer should be, submission. I remember what I said Islam means? Submission. That's what Islam means, submission. They're submitted, but to who? We need to be submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thy will be done on earth. Lord, let your will be done in my life. That's my prayer. Because I will, if there's a choice, I will always pick the worst one. I don't know why. Amen. The second kingdom, of course, is the kingdom of men. But even that was prophesied. As I said, all of the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdom of our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, speaking about the baby that was going to be born, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. See, there cannot be peace on earth when they have rejected the Prince of Peace. But there is coming a day when he's going to rule and reign. The Bible says this scripture in Isaiah 9:7 will be fulfilled. And there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Nowadays, the richer you are, the better justice you get, right? You can hire the lawyers to plead your case. If you're poor, then you have to deal with the public defender who may or may not care about you. He may just say, okay, we'll arrange a plea deal, right? Maybe you're guilty. But you know what? Even though we were guilty, we had the advocate and an intercessor who gave himself for us. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 predicts, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Anyone here work for the government? Anyone here have a government job? Amen. But you're not working for the government. You're working for yourself. Let me tell you, you know what? When Jesus comes, we're going to be working for the government. But it will not be an earthly government. Not only that, we will be in a position of authority and power. Amen. I'm skipping to the end of the book. Let me just give you some highlights of the coming kingdom. Isaiah chapter 65, 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Now that seems impossible. The scientists would say, that'll never happen. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock or the bull, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. It's funny, that's not going to change. Did you notice that? That didn't change. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. There is coming a time that there's going to be peace on earth. And there has never been peace on earth since man was kicked out the garden. I don't think there's been any period in history where somewhere there was not a war going on. There was not violence taking place. But the Bible promises that the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the seas, as the waters now cover the earth. And of course, there was the kingdom of the grave, which we talked about. Romans 5:14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude." Even though you didn't go in the garden and pick the fruit, it's appointed unto all men once to die. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And we talked about this in the previous lessons. So we were predestined, as we were born, to go to that third kingdom. In the book of Job, chapter 17 and verse 16, it says, "They shall go down to the bars of the pit," or in the Hebrew, Sheol, "when our rest together is in the dust." That's what Job said. He was speaking about his death. In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way: "No, my hope will go down with me to the grave. We will rest together in the dust." That was our destiny. Now, those of you who are under, let's say, 30 or under 35, death seems like going old, and that seems so far away. When I was in my 30s, that just seemed like it's not something you could get your brain around. Yeah, you know you're going to die one time, but it doesn't seem very real. But once you get past, I would say, 50, 55, 60, you know, as I preach that message about teach us to number our days, if you actually count it out and you see, okay, 20,000 and 70 is only 25,000, you know, I have less to live than I have lived. But I'm still smiling because my hope is not in this earth. Amen. Amen. This was all review, and we talked about the fact that everybody was going to die. But God had a plan. See, there was coming a time when he was going to redeem the kingdom. And we have to understand why it is that we go through tribulation. And although we kind of know it, sometimes we have to remember that it's not that person that's getting on your nerves. It's Satan. Because he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Take away your joy. Take away your joy. When I came Saturday, and this is my confession Sunday. When I came Saturday, my wife is shaking her head. When I came Saturday to pick up people for the, we were going to go down to Chicago. I guess I was kind of off. It was Friday? Okay. Old age. I was kind of off maybe, and so my wife said, "Are you in a bad mood?" "What bad mood?" You know, and I thought about what she said. I didn't tell her, but I was trying to think, am I in a bad mood? And I couldn't put my finger on it. Yeah, I was kind of grumpy, but I couldn't. It was like I was looking for a reason to be in a bad mood. Satan will just put a heavy fog on your life. He'll try and take away your joy. He'll take away your enthusiasm. You see, because we're living in his kingdom. But just as Jesus said, you're in the world, but don't be part of it. Don't let him get his claws into you. Don't let him steal your joy. He can take your things. He can take your toys. When Satan came before God in Job 1:12, he said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." That scripture tells us the state of this kingdom. It tells us the state of this kingdom. Now, the kingdom of the grave, he no longer has power over that. But he still has some power here right now. "All that he hath is in thy power." So Satan said, okay, I'm going to go take away his children. I'm going to take away his riches. I'm going to afflict his body. I'm going to afflict his body. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you know all the story of how he had his children killed. But the great thing about Job was the Bible said in all this, Job did not lose his integrity. He did not curse God and die. He didn't do as his wife said. Why don't you curse? God's against you. Just because bad things are happening to you in your life, don't blame God. We're still in this kingdom where there is a power that doesn't want to be subject to the kingdom of God. Amen. This is still all review here. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. If you're in peace, you're in Jesus. If you're in tribulation, if you're all worried, then that tells you where you are, right? Because if you're truly, totally in Jesus, despite the storm, you'll have peace. Now, I'm preaching a message, and I'm tempted to tell you a little bit about it because it kind of goes, but I woke up one morning, the Lord just said, Peter or Simon? Peter or Simon? Because he could be both, right? And some of us are like that. Sometimes we're Peter, sometimes we're like Simon. You have to wait till second service to find out about that. But that's how we are. We have a nature that wants to do other than what God wants. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world shall have tribulation. So now, where are you going to have tribulation? What does it say? I only heard a few people. Where are you going to have tribulation? Are you sure about that? Okay, so the more you're in Jesus, what does that mean? Peace. The more you're in the world, the more tribulation you're going to have. So that be a gauge. That's your measuring. That's your thermometer. If you're having a lot of tribulation right now, you really have to look at where you are, right? If you're going through a lot of stuff, it's because you've let Satan take away your peace. Now I'm human and Friday, he probably took away my peace, and I couldn't quite. Maybe I was frustrated about, you know what makes people frustrated? When we don't have control. We don't have control of the situation. And we feel we got to do this, then we got to do that, and we got to do the other. Right? And that makes us frustrated because we have no control. And so probably, I couldn't put my finger on it. I let Satan control me. But in Jesus, we shall have what? Peace. Peace. So he taught his disciples to pray after this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I said, why should it matter that we pray? And I've given you the answer already, because we are returning the dominion. Next time you pray, think about at least including those two parts, thanksgiving and submission, and see if there's not a difference in the result. You can ask my wife, and this time she'll agree with me. I never leave the house most of the time praying, and I say, Lord, take my will. I made it a habit now to say, Lord, I submit my will to you, because you leave it to me and I'll mess up. My flesh wants to go over here and do this, or and I need to submit whatever dominion I have and say, Lord, you take my will. Try it when you pray. Try it. Submit your dominion. Actually say, Lord, take my will. We sing that song, take my will. Well, you pray that prayer and then pray a prayer of thanksgiving, because what we're doing is returning the dominion. We are empowering God not to just be the son, but with all of the dominion. Remember what I taught Tuesday night, to really act as God on our behalf. Amen. And the reason is found in Psalms 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So we have to give back our part. We have to say, Lord, take my will. Take all of the choices today. Give me favor. Amen. When I go to work, I always pray, Lord, open my understanding. When my son was first, when he was still in the early months, he was diagnosed, my oldest son, Matthew, with autism. And, when he was born, a little bit after he was born, he had swelling on the brain and his head had started to grow and they were going to operate. But the Lord, I guess, miraculously stopped the growth and everything went back down. But he had, I don't know if it was caused by that, but he had symptoms of autism, and that's what they diagnosed him with. And he really didn't even start speaking till he was about four or five, if you can believe that, to see him now. To see him. But you see, every night when I prayed, I said, Lord, open his understanding. Every single night, I would lay hands on him and pray, open his understanding. Now, I didn't see the result right away. But guess what? I didn't quit either. And he got extremely sick. He was about five. And he got an infection in his throat that started to swell up his throat and close off his windpipe. So we had to emergency take him to the hospital. And I just kept on praying. And another little boy came in that night and died with the same thing. Because the only choice at a certain point is they have to cut a hole in the trachea. And the surgeon that was there was just a resident. He wasn't a... Well, he's a doctor, but he could have done it, but he was scared. And so the boy actually died. So they put Matthew in a special in the ICU, and they started giving him antibiotics and stuff, and I stayed in his room that night, and I prayed. And from that prayer, by the time he came out of the hospital, and by the time he went back to school, they sent us home a 600... questionnaire, 600 questions we had to answer. Well, basically it was, what changed? What did you do? They wanted to find out what had happened from the last time they saw him till they saw him. And from that point, it was only about a few months, they said he can't come to the autism center anymore because he's not displaying those symptoms. You got to put him back in school. And so they put him back in the special classes. And they said after about a year, you can't put him in the special classes anymore. Because he's not special anymore. So they put him in the mainstream. And then, you know, he improved so much that he got some awards for most improved. And then we got to go to his graduation. See, when we think about all the miracles that God has done, and it's about returning dominion. Whatever your situation, you pray and say, God, I cannot do this, but you can. I give you back my dominion. Pray the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus understood why he had come the first time was to take back that first kingdom. And before, when he was being arrested, he said, listen, I didn't come to fight physically this time. Matthew 26:53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That was more than the whole Roman army. The Roman army had about 10 legions. That was like today, the U.S. Army, I think, has 10 divisions. So Jesus was saying, listen, I could call more angels than is in the entire Roman Empire. That's all I have to do. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? He was talking about submission. Do you understand? He was saying, yeah, I could get out of this. I could choose to do something else. I could, in my human deity, I could do something else. But then that's not what the Spirit wants. When he was before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. A lot of stuff we're fighting for is an earthly kingdom. And we should realize that that's not how we're going to really get it. We have to be given it by the Father. Don't fight for stuff down here. Don't fight for... That's what Jesus said, anything you're going to fight for, you might lose. But if you lose it for the kingdom's sake, I'm going to give it back to you. You know, I use the example of the house in Michigan, and I'm sorry, I have to use myself. I can't tell your story. But it was a beautiful house, and we didn't really get to live in it much. And we lived next door here, those of you who were able to come. And yet God has, I haven't lost a thing, not really. I haven't lost a thing. You cannot lose with God. You cannot lose with God. Whenever we learn the secret of that, we can rest. We can rest. We can just lay back and say, God, you got this. You got this. You see, I was child enough when my parents told me some things that I just believed it. I just accepted because I was so young. If I'd been older when my mother told me some things, I probably said, yeah, you're just saying that because you're my mom. But she, and I've told you this, when I was 8 years old, we're coming back from church, she just turned around and pointed at me in the car all of a sudden and said, "You are blessed and you shall be blessed." And I believed her. You know, I just believed it. If I had been older, I said, "Yeah, yeah, you're my mom. You're going to say nice things." But I want to tell you today, Jesus is speaking to you directly today. If you can receive it, you are blessed and you shall be blessed. Just the fact that you are here today, that you're hearing a word of encouragement. You may not have material goods. I'm not a millionaire, but I'm still blessed. You may not be a millionaire, but you are blessed and highly favored. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that are counted worthy." Do you understand that you have been counted worthy? There are millions and millions of people who will never hear this truth. But we are so down. We're just looking at the ground and looking at our circumstance. And I don't know, Friday I came in here in a fog, and my wife is very sensitive. Sometimes Audrey is too. She, "You okay, Pastor?" But you know what? When we submit our will to God, when we understand that we can't fight for this kingdom, He will grant it to us. Amen. Jesus said this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews." Now, this is the most important word in this whole thing. He says, "Now." Pilate probably didn't get it. That probably went right over his head. All he heard was Jesus said, "This is not my kingdom." I bet he didn't catch this part when Jesus said, "Now, this is not my kingdom." You know what he was implying? And there's coming a day. Children of God, there's coming a day when you shall inherit the kingdom. Now this is not your kingdom. Now the devil's on your case. Now things may not be going great. Now you may be under pressure. Now you may be sick. Maybe you're facing all kinds of crisis like Jesus was. He was facing the cross. But he said, "Now this is not my kingdom." Now. He was putting a little period there. He was using a phrase that denotes a period in time. He was putting something that went right over Pilate's head. Oh, he says it's not his kingdom. But there was coming a day. Amen. See, the great heroes of faith understood this, that it wasn't the material things. Yes, Jesus knows we need to live. He knows we need food. He knows we need clothing. All the way back to Abraham, look what Hebrews 11 says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. The place God told him to go for an inheritance, you know, there were people already there. It was occupied. So did Abraham say, "Listen, God told me to come here and take it over, so I'm going to fight now"? No, he did not. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents. The Bible says Abraham was a very rich man. He could have built himself a palace, but he didn't. What did he dwell in? He dwelt in tents, meaning this isn't quite it. I know this is the geographic region, but there's something missing here. I better not put down some roots here. I'm going to stay in my tents because I'm looking for a city that hasn't been built yet. He said he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, if they took that house, that's fine too, because I got a better one. Amen. Amen. I got a better one. I've got one that they can't take, whose builder and maker is God. Which kingdom are you looking for? You see, there's three kingdoms, and the one you should be seeking is the kingdom of God. Amen. He understood that it wasn't about the material things. God had blessed him. But he could have built a palace. He didn't. He dwelt in tents his whole life. Just to make the point that he was looking for that heavenly city. Amen. Now, to bring this forward now, we're talking about the kingdom that is going to be coming. The Bible says that when he arose, Jesus came out of the grave, he led captivity captive. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened." That means made alive together with him, having forgiven you all, let's say together, all trespasses. Ooh, that should make you joyful. All trespasses? All trespasses. As I've said so many times, most of us, we will not let Christ come off the cross. Think about that. Because we let Satan throw mud at us and we say, well, yes, I know he forgave me back then, but he can't do it anymore. It says all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, the laws that was against us, which was contrary to us, which we couldn't have kept anyway, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that means he shamed them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Do you understand the cross was a victory, not a defeat? The cross was a great victory because through it he released all the people who had died. Through it he broke the power of death. Through it the Bible says, and this is getting ahead, he says, I am he that was dead and liveth and am alive forevermore and have the keys to death and hell. The cross was not a defeat, it was a victory. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, through his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now we may not understand all of the depth of the profoundness of what that means and exactly how that works, but all we have to understand is that when he arose, he said, I have the keys. I have the keys. And the trouble with us is that we are so grounded in the five senses that we sometimes forget that if you are filled with the Spirit, if you are born in his name, you are passed from death unto life. I really believe both my parents kind of chose when they wanted to go. I really do. They really did. They decided they didn't want to be here, and I could tell when both of them did it. I could just tell. And you know, people at both of their funerals may say, "Well, you didn't seem so sad." Yes, I was sad. Yes, I did my own weeping. But on the other hand, the Bible says, "We sorrow not as them who have no hope." Why should I be so? Yes, I miss my father and mother. Many, many times I wonder what he would say to me in certain circumstances. But you know what? I'm going to see him again. Amen. His destiny is fixed. It's up to me now. It's up to me. It's up to you to fix your destiny. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, now let me explain, and I've said little parts of this before, but Jesus told a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then to return. Now, this is my teaching, maybe not somebody else's teaching. What was the kingdom he went to go and get? That's right. Amen. You got it. That's the kingdom he went to get. He left here. He went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And that's what he did during those 3 days. He went to receive a kingdom and to return. But while he was gone, he gave his workers, he said, here's some talents. I want you to keep on working. Now look at this. Revelation 1:17. John saw Jesus, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Here's the verse I was going to tell you about. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. See, he went and received back that kingdom of the grave. And this is so important because the Bible explains this in so many ways that, and I'm trying to tell you this over and over, you can't die. Not if you're in Christ. You are passed from death unto life. Amen. You are passed from death unto life. Let's look at this a little bit more. So then there was a victory parade. The Bible says that he led captivity captive. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So that 50 days after Pentecost, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. On Tuesday evening, somewhere in Jerusalem, at sunset, the Jews will be celebrating the 50th day of Pentecost, Shavuot, since they captured Jerusalem. So that's a jubilee. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, Ephesians 4:9, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might, what? Fill some things? All things. All things. All things. See, Revelation tells the story again. Revelation 18:2 says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now, the king of Babylon, if you read in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, was representative of who? Satan. Satan, the king of Babylon. That was the kingdom. In Revelation 18:2, I'm giving you some revelation here from the book of Revelation. And he cried with a strong voice, the angel, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. What happened when Jesus went down to literal Babylon? He destroyed that kingdom. And has become, he took all of the righteous dead out of there. And so what was left? Well, verse 2 tells us. And is become the habitation of what? Devils. That was all that's left in hell. Of the righteous dead was taken out, because when Jesus died, he went down and he took back the kingdom of Babylon. And so it's become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean bird. See, what he took back was hell. Didn't he say that in Matthew 6:18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, a stone. But upon this rock, speaking about himself, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. He didn't say hell shall not prevail against the gates of the church. What does that mean? It means the church is breaking through and delivering people out of Babylon. Every person you witness to, every person who gets saved, that's only leaving the foul spirits and the stronghold, the habitation of devils, because Babylon, the city, has fallen. Now, Babylon had a king. Babylon had a king, and his days are also numbered. See, Babylon, the city, has fallen, and so is the king going to be destroyed too. Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. See, Babylon is no longer full of righteous dead, because that kingdom has fallen. And then finally, we come to my favorite scripture. Tuesday night I'll be teaching a lot more, because Tuesday, Shavuot, is which feast? Pentecost. But three of the seven feasts were harvest festivals. I've taught this before. What harvest was it of what? The wheat. Very good. The wheat. See, we are the wheat. Jesus said, you say, there are yet more 4 months to the harvest. But he said, the fields are even now white and ready to harvest. Wouldn't that be great? When I think about that, I get tearful, I get excited. Wow. As I said, a week ago, they sent me my Social Security statement showing in what Jamaicans would call kwati. Those of you who know Jamaican patois, you understand what that means. It showed I would get quatty. You've heard that before? It means nil, zilch, very little, you know. For 40 years of working, for 40 years of working, it said, Mr. Brownie, you are entitled to this much money. And Jamaicans would say quatty. That means, you know, very little, very little. But I tell you what, I have an inheritance that is not made with human hands. Hallelujah. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But Revelation 12:7, I believe, falls on a feast day. And we'll be teaching about that Tuesday night. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. His kingdom has fallen. He no longer can bind people in hell if we release them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Whatsoever you release on earth, you shall be released in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth, it's up to us. You know that? We are now his image, his likeness. He's done the work. He has the keys. He said, listen, I give you authority over devils and demons. Go and heal the sick. Pray for the dumb. Amen? And heal them. Lay hands. That's what he said. And so there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. But guess what? Prevailed not. Neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice saying, now. Let's say it together. Now. Now. I can't wait. Just as he told Pilate, now is my kingdom not from hence. There's coming a time when that now becomes right this minute. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Now. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our... That's all he's got against. Did you know that? All he can do is make accusations. All he can do is say, hey, they messed up here, they messed up there. That's all he can do. But he has no power of judgment. He has no power of condemnation, because it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. I like that now. I like that now. There is there. All he can do is accuse. But you can tell him, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. My personal belief is that when the angel says that, that's when the rapture happens. When the angel says that, that's when the rapture happens, because now has come salvation. Now we are saved by faith, but then it will be reality. The Bible says we see as through a glass darkly, but one day we shall know as we are known. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, you have to tell the devil something. They say there's not testimony without a test. Right? So you're going to have to tell the devil, listen, I failed, but I'm going to get back up. I messed up, but I'm not giving up, because I am going to tell you, devil, you're a liar, because the kingdom is coming. I submit my will and my dominion to him, and he is my deliverer. He is my lifter up of my head, as Psalms 48 says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, there's two things there I'll have to teach on them. One is the blood, and one is by the word. And those, you see, there's not a word in the Bible that's put for to fill space. Those two things mean something. Tuesday night. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. Are you going to be happy when you realize that you made it? Revelation 21, verse 4. It's going to wipe away all tears. Will you be happy when you realize that it's finished? When you have made it? Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. As I've said, the best analogy I've got is when the sheriff goes and slaps on the house and says, evicted. You know, but they're still living in there. They give them 30 days. So, of course, because they know they're going to have to go, they wreck the house. Satan's coming down here, and if you think it's bad now, you wait. He's going to try and wreck the house. He's going to try and destroy everything he can because he knows he hath but a short time. But no matter what, the Bible says, rejoice. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. See, I believe we'll be in heaven. The Bible says he hath not appointed us to wrath. He hath not appointed us to wrath. If we have just a little strength, he said to the Philadelphian church, I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation that is coming to try the whole earth. This is our time to make sure our calling and election. This is our time. Not next week. Right now. Not in 2 months, or I got to do this before I'm ready to really fully open up to you, Lord. Might be too late. They were all virgins, but 5 of them were foolish. They probably thought, you know what? I got one more day. I know I don't have enough oil, but in the morning I'm going to do it. Just a few more hours. You ever delayed something that really cost you? When I was driving the van yesterday, I made sure and got all of the stuff taken care of in it and got the Freon put in because I knew it was going to get warm now. And when we were opening up, I looked at it and I saw that the coolant level was low. And I thought, man, I'm so busy. But another thought, listen, imagine if just because you let it go one more day, the engine seizes up. Now you're really going to be in trouble. I said, no, okay, I'm going to take the time and go get some oil. You need to take the time and make sure that you have the oil not only in the lamp, but also in the vessel. Rejoice, ye heavens. I'm running out of time. And the 7th angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven saying, here's another one. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. I can see this in my head, you know. I can see it. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. See, Pilate, now is not my kingdom hence. Pilate missed that little word now. But there's coming a day when that angel puts one foot on the sand, one foot. And I know I say it every Sunday because that's in my heart. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the kingdom to finally come. I'm tired of looking at this world and its hypocrisy and hate and mess and deprivation. You know, I had a close friend who I greatly respect, that I worked with for many years. And I remember I was on a job, this is in the early 90s, and we did some work in Philadelphia. And in fact, our whole family was there. I managed to arrange so that my whole family could be there because it was the summer. They didn't have to go to school. And Yvonne and his wife and their children, you know, would do things while both of us were working. And I had such a great respect for him, and I still do. But I was just so disappointed. It's the only way I can. He came so close. He came to church a few times with me. He came so close so many times. But, you know, his wife was an influence. I mean, I was so kind of disappointed to see on Facebook his wife announced a wedding. And it was his daughter and her husband. Well, it was, yes, it was an, well, her husband was a she, I should put it that way. You know, it just seemed so strange to me because I knew them, my kids knew them, growing up, Christopher, they all played together. You see, we're living in a world that is fast approaching a point. I'm not setting any dates, but this is going to happen. Amen. See, now I'm going to wrap this up very quickly because this is all about the kingdom come. You know who the kingdom comes for first? It's for us. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. See, we haven't suffered. We think rain on a Sunday is suffering. I can't come to Sunday school because it's raining. Wow. I can't come to because it's raining. Oh my goodness. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived. That's the other harvest that I taught about, the oil and the wine. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. See, the kingdom comes first for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. The kingdom comes first for us. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Here's your reward, saints. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and it shall reign with him 1,000 years. The kingdom comes finally on earth. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, there's a tree missing. You know which tree is missing? See, we never hear about that tree again, the knowledge of good and evil, do we? Jesus said that every tree that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be what? Plucked up. It's gone from the garden. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the tree were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Finally, the kingdom comes for Israel. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, God keeps his promises. He gave an unconditional promise to Abraham, and he's going to fulfill it. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor, and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They will realize at that time, just before Jerusalem gets destroyed, who it is was their true Savior. Right now, Jews are looking for two kinds of Savior. They're looking for the suffering Christ, and they're looking for the reigning Christ. They don't understand that it's the one. I am he that liveth and was dead. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They'll realize who the Messiah was. They'll realize it was Jesus. And when they call upon him, he's going to answer. And then, of course, the last thing to usher in the kingdom will be the binding of Satan. Amen. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. If you could all stand with me. See, one day that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, is going to be fulfilled. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. This scripture is found on the wall of the United Nations. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. See, finally will be fulfilled the herald that the angels brought at his birth. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Remember my teaching on Garden of Eden? And I said a river flowed, and it flowed from where? A mountain. And it shall come to pass in that mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, in the tops of the mountain shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I'm rushing this. And his name shall be called what? See, that scripture too is going to be fulfilled. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Amazing. But this is what God's word says. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Well, the scientists say that's impossible. They don't know the God that I serve. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full. This is the scripture I quoted, of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, back in Genesis, everyone knew about God. Adam was still alive to his seventh generation. Nobody believed in evolution. There was Adam. There was great, 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 great grandmother Eve. The knowledge of God still filled the earth. But the Bible says that they chose to serve the creature rather than the creator. When God sets back up his kingdom, the knowledge of God will again cover the earth. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, speaking about us, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. The 24 elders cry out, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You know you're going to receive a crown? You're going to receive a crown? Amen. Several crowns. Amen. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God. And I don't know how to describe it. John couldn't describe it, so I just put it as a diamond. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious. Even like a jasper stone, and that's supposed to be a diamond. See, we can't envisage what heaven is going to be like. But we can see it by faith, and I hope that I have helped you this morning to hold on a little bit tighter, because the kingdom is coming. As day follows night, he said, my words shall not pass away till everything be fulfilled. Just hold on. Don't let the accuser steal your throne. Don't let the accuser take your crown. We don't have a lot longer to wait. We don't have a lot longer to wait. One of these feasts, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. You're going to wake up, and if you miss it, and there will be news all over the earth that millions of people have disappeared. I don't know how they're going to explain it, but they'll come up with something. They'll say it's fake news. Didn't happen. You don't want to be around when you get that fake news, because you will know. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, let it find good soil. Oh God, help us to look forward to your coming, to your kingdom. Lord, we ask you right now.